As a result of this victory, though he lost an earlier important vote, he decided to call his faction the Bolsheviks, which is from the Russian word for the majority, for the people in the majority. And Lenin's Martov's group was left, therefore, to call itself, by logic, the Mensheviks, the minority, the group of the minority. And though, in fact, Lenin would soon be a minority within the party in terms of a number of party members actually there, Lenin wisely continued to use the term Bolshevik for his even small faction, leaving Mensheviks stuck with that name. Most important, though, Lenin worked to make his faction, his Bolshevik faction, a disciplined professional party, even if that's not what the party rules as a whole required. And after 1917, of course, this Bolshevik party would become the ruling Communist Party and would apply similar principles about leadership and discipline to ruling Russia, what became the Soviet Union, as a whole. Now, it's well worth, I think, looking at some of the underlying differences dividing Mensheviks and Bolsheviks. And needless to say, the reason for understanding Lenin and Bolshevism is quite obvious. Their ideas helped shape 74 years of Russian history. But it's also worth remembering and taking seriously the arguments of those that history initially swept aside, partly because their ideas haven't been totally forgotten, but perhaps most importantly, as reminding us that Russian life, even Russian radicalism, contained still very important alternative visions, very different paths and conceptions of Russia's future and fate, even among those who embraced the same important Marxist ideology. And to understand these differences, I'll focus mostly on two individuals, on Lenin, the leader of the Bolsheviks, and Martov, the leader of the Menshevik. And I'll say something about their personalities, their political personalities, but also I want to focus on their ideas about their approaches to two really key ideas for both of them, democracy and what was called consciousness. Now, in a lot of ways, Yuli Martov, Sederbaum, his real name, who lived from 1873 until 1923, fits rather well into the whole tradition of the Russian intelligentsia that we've been talking about, reaching back to Novikov and the Decembrists and Belinsky and Herzen, and in fact forward, as you'll see later, to the Soviet dissidents. Above all, Martov was driven by a moral passion for justice. And this may have been partly shaped by his own youthful experience growing up as a Jew in southern Russia, in the city of Odessa, in the 1870s and 1880s. These were absolutely horrible times to be Jewish in Russia, times of intense and increasing discrimination in education, in employment, in where one could live, and even time of periodic violence against Jews, anti-Semitic riots that were known as pogroms, and in particular, an enormous outbreak of these terribly violent attacks on Jews in cities and towns throughout especially southern Russia that broke out in 1881, just after the assassination of Alexander II. This was when Martov was 8, and he witnessed one of these terrible pogroms in Odessa. These experiences of being a Jew in Russia in the late 19th century led many Russian Jews either to the rising movement of Zionism, the idea that the only help would be to leave Russia for Palestine or somewhere else. It also led many to Jewish socialism, a socialist party formed, known as the Bund, that focused on the same basic goals as other Marxists and populists shared, but focusing particularly on improving conditions for Jews and paying particular attention to Jewish needs. But it also led many young and older Jews to liberalism, to populism as a whole, to the socialist, the Marxist movement, to the idea of changing society for everyone and hence making it possible to live as a Jew or any other ethnic minority in Russia. Now, Martov's own parents, who were actually relatively educated and not at all as poor as most Jews were in Russia in this period, responded to all of these conditions, to the plight of Jews, with liberal answers. They believed that the solution to the suffering of the Jews, and indeed to most other problems in Russia, were civil rights, freedom of press and speech and assembly and religion, and a democratic government. Many liberals liked them, and they were of that sort.